noon to 12 p.m. for the most brutal, intense, uncensored show on the net, Daily Noise, right here on LVRocks.com.
And now back to whatever crap you're listening to.
The new home for the wise guys on the net is LVRocks.com. That's LV as in Las Vegas, R-O-C-K-S.com, LVRocks.com. Listen to the Wise Guys show on the web from noon to 2 at LVRocks.com.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion live at LVRocks.com. Thank you for everybody listening to the program live. And, of course, thank you for everybody listening to the program via the podcast. That was the Centurion in charge of production, Mr. Consoler. Thank you very much. And this is my birthday special edition of Subject to Discussion. The day the Earth stood still is actually tomorrow, but I won't be here tomorrow, so I'll be at the doctor's office. well, it's one gift, you know what I mean? Anyway, and what else? The program is archived over on SpankWagon.net. SpankWagon's on every Friday from 7 until 9. And the website is subject2discussion.com. And email is subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. And tonight, after the news to me and the news to you, would be Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfint Centrist Political Blog. And then after him at the top of the second hour will be Rohan from popculturejunkies.com. I think it's Rohan. Yeah, he told me how to pronounce his name, Ro and then Hen, so it's Rohan. And then at the end of the program, of course, it'll be Koenig Rules he'll be on. And Koenig's getting a little demanding in his celebrity. He's asking for the Knott's Landing theme, so I'm trying to find the Knott's Landing theme for when we talk about Caprica. So I guess he didn't appreciate the Dallas theme from last week. So, but anyway, and what else? The program is also part of the podcast of AntiRadio.net, as well as Meeker Broadcasting. Thank you very much. And going through the little news to me, there's the thing in Yahoo News. I was just talking about it with Con here about this story on Yahoo about a bears eat monkey in front of zoo visitors, and they actually have a picture of the bear mauling this monkey. So it's in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands. Bears killed and ate a monkey in a Dutch zoo in front of horrified visitors. I guess so. You know what I mean? I guess he's not monkeying around anymore. No. Ba-dum-bum, no. And it's like those alligators eating everybody in Florida, you know? Good grief. But, yeah, I was surprised. I couldn't believe I got a picture of this thing, of the bear, you know, mauling this monkey. It looks like it's already tore its head off in this picture. So, and I'm going to go through the news to me. Of course, today in the USA Today, they talked about, President Bush's call for thousands of guard troops along the border. We'll talk about more of that with Justin from the Dunkelfint. And his speech last night, he wanted to put 6,000 National Reserve troops on the border to back up the Border Patrol. And right now they have here Border Patrol apprehensions. Arizona has 373,000 border apprehensions in fiscal 2006. Texas is second with 167,000, and California 137,000. So we'll see what happens with that. And also, they have for legal immigrants, wait can be daunting. And also the story about the United States reestablishing diplomatic relations with Libya. I think that's outrageous. I mean, it's a country that's sponsored that shooting down that plane. I don't know what they're thinking. You might as well reestablish diplomatic relations with Iran, for crying out loud. You know, because the plane killed, how many people were killed in Achilles Laurel? Or no, that that plane, what was it? A couple hundred people were killed in that jet over Lockerbie, Scotland. Hold on, here it is. A Pan Am Flight 103 brought down by Libyan bomb over Lockerbie, Scotland. So, I mean, But as I say, if we're going to do that, might as well normalize relations with the Iran, you know, for crying out loud. And then, you know what, the last few weeks I've been talking about the gas tax, and I'll say Nevada has a 23-cent gas tax. Actually, I was way off on that one. Nevada has 32.5-cent gas tax on per gallon. So, I mean, so it's, you know, $2.20. They had 32 cents to the, you know, it's, so Nevada has got 32 cents per gallon. On top, add 18 cents for the federal gas tax. So already we're paying 40 cents more in just in taxes on the gas. So why don't they eliminate these two taxes, and gas will go down 50 cents a gallon. New York's got 49.5 cents a gallon. California, 42.2 cents a gallon. Where else? Other states. Ohio is 28 cents. Let's see, lowest looks like so far is 14 cents in Wyoming, so that's the federal. It's the state gas tax. So, because the federal tax on gasoline is 18.4 cents per gallon. So the states are going crazy with this gas tax. So if they cut that, I mean, at least here in Nevada, gas will go down 50 cents a gallon. So we should do that. Yeah. And then yesterday, ABC has announced its fall schedule. They're going to have that shines their light on Calista Flockhart. And Jagger shows E! Online. And Mick Jagger, I guess, is going to have be a feature in a show. This is from E! Online. Former Ally McBeal star Calista Flockhart will return to primetime television next season, the ABC family soap opera Brothers and Sisters, which also stars Rachel Griffiths, whoever that is, and also added to the schedule telenovela, whatever, inspired Ugly Betty, set at a fashion magazine, the national security thriller Traveler, and Men in Trees, starring Anne Hesch as a divorcee who moves to Alaska. ABC also gave the nod to two serialized comedies, Big Day, a look at a couple's wedding day through the eyes of the participants. Sounds like a 24, but based around a wedding. And an untitled project starring Donnell Logue as the ringleader of a group of guys who conspire to rob Mick Jagger. Well, that sounds like a disaster right there. That show's going to bomb. The first one to get canceled, probably. And then, of course, Monday, talk about Bush going to send National Guard to the border. The Associated Press says the centerpiece of Bush's speech Monday from the Oval Office was his announcement that as many as 6,000 National Guard troops will be dispatched to states along the Mexican border. The Guard troops will mostly serve two-week stints before rotating out of the assignment, so keeping the force level at 6,000 over the course of a year could require up to 156,000 troops. So where are we going to get these troops at? You know what I mean? I have a feeling they'll be the excuse to start pulling them out of Iraq. And on Sunday, I had this thing about a new life for Seventh Heaven. So that show supposedly was canceled. Apparently not. It's coming back. Media Week reported Friday that Seventh Heaven, which aired its 10th season finale and where producers had sworn was to be its series ender, Monday is coming back for an 11th season of family-friendly fun in the fall. CW, of course, is the WB and the UPN merging together. CW insiders told the trade magazine that the new network wants at least 13 episodes of the family saga. So we'll see about that. That show's long in the tooth. Reports are also that Bush spoke with Mexico President Vicente Fox about the troops on the border, and apparently said that they are temporary. Could the withdrawal date, I think, is set for November 8th, which is the day after the congressional elections. That's what I think. All this is BS, smokescreen. You know, I mean, he proposes all this stuff. Half the stuff he proposes, he doesn't follow through on. So I think there's going to be just some BS scam to help the Republicans with the November elections. So. And then we have bombs in Iraq that leveled 6 Shiite shrines in Iraq. Saturday, Tori Spelling got married in Fiji. The former Beverly Hills 90210 star Tori Spelling married her fiancé, Dean McDermott, on Sunday on a private tropical island in Fiji. Was it Marlon Brando's? It has a private island there. People magazine reported. The magazine said the couple who met last summer in Ottawa while filming the TV movie Mind Over Murder got married barefoot and wearing white in a private non-denominational ceremony. Hope they signed a prenup. Or he did, because she's got money. Her father, Aaron Spelling. Wow. Friday, I also remember Aaron Spelling. He built his new house in Beverly Hills, as I recall, years ago as a replica of the house on Dynasty. So, Friday, ABC Washington Post poll, media disclosure of the NSA program. People say it was wrong, 42%. Rights, people say it was right about the program to disclose it was 56%. So that's interesting. And then we had Johnny Depp best and Diaz worst for Cameron Diaz for worst for autographs. Best was for the men was Johnny Depp. Second was George Clooney. Three was Matt Damon. Fourth was Al Pacino. Fifth was Tom Cruise. Sixth was King Hesh. Wow, he's in there now. And then we had the worst in the women. Wait a minute here. Best? Oh, and, yeah, that was the best. And the worst. Number one was Cameron Diaz. And number two was Bruce Willis. Three was Demi Moore. That's a surprise. Four was Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man. And five was Alan Alda. That's a surprise. I always figured he's kind of the nice guy out of the whole bunch, but oh well. And then Thursday we had CBS New York Times poll. Bush approval rating is 31%. Disapprove 63%. Better or worse today than before Bush? Better 14%. Worse 68%. Wow. Bush approval of handling gas prices. Approve is only 13%. Disapprove 79%. Iraq war, 29% approval. Iraq war was the right decision. 39% war be successful. 30% GOP Congress, the GOP Congress is their approval. 30% GOP Congress approval. 23%, wait a minute here. It's all messed up here. What is this? Wait a minute. GOP, wait a minute. War be successful, 30%. GOP Congress approval, 23%. There you go. Bush's approval rating drops. This is from the Harris Interactive poll. 29% think Mr. Bush is doing a good job as president. Roughly 25% of adults say things are going in the right direction, while 69% say things are on the wrong track. And also in the pop culture, one of Andy Warhol's soup can paintings sold for $11.7 million this week. Wow. And George Lucas says that the next Indiana Jones flick will probably start shooting next year. I think by that time Harrison Ford will be 80 years old. Push him out in a wheelchair, I guess. Wednesday, we had a CNN poll. Vote for Congress, GOP 38%, Democrats 52%. New York Times favorable ratings, Bush 29%, Hillary Clinton 34%, John Kerry 26%, Al Gore 28%, and John McCain 31%. So anybody saw him in Saturday Night Live, it was pretty funny. Al Gore gave the opening a little four-minute monologue there, acting like he was the president and like an update on how his term has been. I thought it was pretty cool. American Idol shocks with its latest cut. And it says, shock, total shock. There was a reaction in the audience when American Idol finalist Chris Daughtry, predicted by many to be as the last singer standing, was booted off Wednesday's voting. So with that, we get to the news to you, and let's start with the immigration business. And also we had this about the, this is from today, Bush agrees to full NSA oversight by Congress. Wow, you've seen the light. The White House, in an abrupt reversal, will allow the full Senate and House of Representatives intelligence committees to review President George W. Bush's domestic spying program. 2 days before the program, is expected to dominate Air Force General Michael Hayden's Senate confirmation hearings as CIA director. The Republican chairman of the Senate and House panels said separately that Bush had agreed to allow full committee oversight of his terrorist surveillance program. Wow. Yep, it's convenient, huh? He's seen the light a day or two before the hearing is supposed to start for the Hayden, clown to get confirmed as the CIA director. So, unbelievable. He kind of looks like, who the hell does he look like? Hayden looks like Tim Conway, kind of. A Tim Conway lookalike is Michael Hayden, I think. Divide, this is from Monday. Divide is sharpening among Republicans. Senate compromises irk House GOP. This is from the Washington Post on Monday. From immigration policy to energy to emergency spending, the House Republican leaders are publicly breaking rank with their counterparts in the Senate, fearing that Senate efforts at compromise are jeopardizing the party's standing with the conservative voters. The breach in congressional leadership has been especially stark in the last 2 weeks as the Senate returns to the immigration issue this week. House Majority Whip Roy Blunt said House Republicans will not agree to any plan granting illegal immigrants a path to citizenship that does not require them to first return to their home countries. I don't know. That's a big mess. I don't know. We'll talk about that with Justin, but I don't know how they're going to solve this. It's a big mess, no matter what side you're on. Federal source to ABC News. We know who you're calling. This is from Monday. On their website, they have a, on the website, this area called the Blotter. This is their law enforcement area of ABCNews.com. It says a senior federal law enforcement official tells ABC News the government is tracking the phone numbers that they, Brian Ross and Richard Esposito, call in an effort to root out confidential sources. Wow. It's time, it's time for you to get some new cell phones quick, the source told us in an in-person conversation. Other sources have told us that phone calls and contacts by reporters for ABC News, along with the New York Times and Washington Post, are being examined as part of a widespread CIA leak investigation. So not only are they tapping our phones and recording all of our phone data, they're going after the media, namely ABC News. So under Bush administration guidelines, it is not considered illegal for the government to keep track of numbers dialed by phone customers. Oh, yeah. They can say they can do anything the hell they want. You know, they could break the law, break the Constitution. Who cares? As long as he says it's okay, it's the law of the land, I guess. Monday, down to three red states. The May survey of Survey USA 50 state polls showed a Bush is down to just three states where approval exceeds disapproval, and even those have become very close. Idaho is 52% approval to 45% disapproval. Utah is 51% approval to 46% disapproval. And Wyoming is 50% approval to 49% disapproval. So he's slipping and a sliding there. It's good news, good news. In unscripted moment, Gore says he's a recovering politician who has to worry about relapse. Former Vice President Al Gore gave yet another vague hint yesterday in Atlanta that he might be open to a run for the presidency in 2008. Al Gore told a reporter for the Atlanta Progressive News that he was a recovering politician, but added he always had to worry about a relapse. So after the reporter apparently said, will you please, she begged him to run for office. And Gore said, like he said, I'm a recovering politician, but you always have to worry about a relapse. So that would be interesting. Al Gore gets in there and sticks it to Hillary. Yeah,
Democrats piss me off.
There's a donkey. But, I mean, I think, I don't know. There it is. Got to name him something. I don't know who we call him. We call the donkey. Call donkey Jeff, right? And I always say, you know, as much as a Hillary supporter, I'm backing away from her because she's just too divisive and all this stuff, you know. And plus her you know, color selection and her outfits, you know, drives me crazy, you know. But, I mean, I just think Al Gore might be the most, you know, probably the most, you know, he's out there. He's already been the vice president. He's been there. So maybe. We'll see. Gore, Edwards, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We've got a couple years yet. Newsweek poll results. This is from Saturday. 53% of Americans think that the NSA surveillance program goes too far in invading people's privacy. Absolutely. 71% of Americans are dissatisfied with the way things are going in the country, and more than half.
He's doing something to his ass.
Uh-oh.
He's not kicking his ass, but he's definitely doing something to his ass.
And more than half, 52% say they would like the Democrats to win enough seats to take over Congress. Hallelujah. Absolutely. This November, only 35% want the Republicans to keep control. Looking ahead to the presidential race in 2008, more Americans say they would like to see a Democrat elected than a Republican. 50% versus 31%. Wow. There's the And when we send the bear to go take care of that elephant now, after the bear ate that monkey, we can send him over to take care of the elephant. But this is from Saturday from CBSNews.com. Q West retaliation is a question mark. According to CBS News, former Quest, I guess, I don't know, it's Q West or Quest Communications, CEO Joseph Nacchio, who refused to turn over the records of Q West to the NSA, has been accused by the U.S. government of insider trading and illegally selling company stock.
Holy cow!
Very interesting. Yeah, I wonder if that's trumped up because they stood up to the Bush and told him, no, get an approval from the FISA court before I hand you over all my customers' calling data. You know, but now I saw on CNN when I was, before I left to come here that the some of the phone companies are even now starting to deny they cooperate with the NSA. So who knows, you know? But at least they'll have some hearings now, and Bush has agreed to give some oversight. We'll see how much oversight he really gives Congress. There you go.
Next question.
Mr. President, will you resign from office?
Next question.
Ex-WMD Inspector Politics Squashed Facts. This is from Sunday. A year after Bush administration claims about Iraqi bioweapons trailers were discredited by American experts, U.S. officials were still suppressing the findings, says a senior member of the CIA-led Iraq inspection team. At one point, former U.N. arms inspector Rod Barton says a CIA officer told him it was politically not possible to report that the White House claims were untrue. In the end, Barton says he felt complicit in the deceit. Absolutely. He said, this is ridiculous, all this stuff, on and on and on and on. But crying out loud, why don't they just come out and say we were wrong about this stuff? I mean, you know, the evidence came up that, you know, it was wrong, you know, they suppressed it, and they, oh, we'd go to war anyway, to hell with what the evidence says. I mean, I don't know why people are more upset about this. This stuff drives me up the wall, how they get away with this stuff, you know? I said, we got to get the Democrats in, at least the House of Representatives. That way they could nail them to the ground, you know, get some hearing, get some investigations, you know, get to the bottom of some of this stuff, you know, and guess slap down Bush. I mean, he can't keep getting away with this. What he does now sets the stage for whoever comes after him. I keep saying that. If Hillary comes in, what's to stop her from recording our calls? You know, oh, well, Bush already took it one step further. How come I can't take it two steps further and just record every call in the United States? Well, I don't know.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
No, I don't think so. Blasts in Baghdad kill 35 Iraqis. Two GIs die. Killed 35 Iraqis and two GIs. Day of attacks as deadliest in weeks. Violence also surges outside the capital of Baghdad. As from late Sunday night from the Washington Post, at least nine bombs exploded in the Iraqi capital Sunday, killing 35 Iraqis and two U.S. soldiers as the country's politicians wrangled over the news. There you go. There's Iraq. Uh-oh. There's a civil war breaking out. Of course, there's no civil war. You know, just beating the hell out of one another. There you go. Run for your life. Uh-oh. It's not a civil war, it's just every day in the Baghdad. You know what I mean? It's just a nice stroll on a Sunday afternoon in Baghdad, you know?
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, evacuate. Anyways, and this is also from Sunday. CNN reported that suicidal troops are sent into combat. U.S. military troops with severe psychological problems have been sent to Iraq or kept in combat, even when superiors have been aware of signs of mental illness. The Hartford Courant newspaper, citing records obtained under the Federal Freedom of Information Act, and more than 100 interviews of families and military personnel, reported numerous cases in which the military failed to follow its own regulations in screening, treating, and evacuating mentally unfit troops from Iraq. 22 U.S. troops committed suicide. Yeah. Now, where has this story been? 22 U.S. troops committed suicide in Iraq last year, accounting for nearly 1 in 5 of all non-combat deaths, and was the highest suicide rate since the war started, the newspaper said. Well, where's this story at? You know, I bet you that story came out. Everybody screaming to the heavens to get those troops out of there. You know, and also from Friday.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Yes, Friday from on Countdown. Former Nixon aide John Dean, he said Bush has outdone Nixon in the NSA scandal. And that Nixon almost looks innocent. Wow.
You are a meathead.
Absolutely.
Spare me your sixth grade Michael
King
Moore
George.
Logic.
King George. Phone companies could be in violation of Title 18, and the phone companies fine $1,000 per incident. These phone companies...
You want to get stoned?
These phone companies could be wiped out if it's taken away civil court. Yeah, that's coming. It's the next story. Experts say phone firms at Law's Edge. Verizon hit with a $5 billion lawsuit. Chicago Tribune reported that the furor over the NSA agency's collection of Americans' phone records intensified Friday, with one telecommunications giant slapped with a $5 billion damage suit. Wow. For allegedly violating privacy laws. And the former head of another firm saying that through a lawyer that his company refused to... we know about that EQ West Quest, whatever the hell it's called. There we are here. Pete Swire, an Ohio State University law professor who was the Clinton administration's top advisor on blah, 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 said the 1986 Stored Communications Act, who knew about this law, forbids such a turnover to the government without a warrant or court order. The law gives consumers the right to sue for violations of the act and allows them to recover a minimum of $1,000 for each violation. If you've got 50 million people, that's a potentially $50 billion.
Yeah, it's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
Yeah, wipe out all these communications coming. That's why we had all backing off. Oh, we never gave them records. Well. Pentagon faults. What was that thing with AT&T then when they set up that special room with the wiring getting split off and going to that secret, supposedly secret room that wasn't a secret because they saw it getting built? I don't know. Pentagon faults report questioning veterans' mental health care. Here's an error file for the mental care of the troops. The Pentagon's top medical officer yesterday, Friday, because this is from Saturday, contested the conclusions of a GAO report that questioned whether service members returning from Iraq and Afghanistan are getting appropriate mental health care. The report says only 22% of service members identified as at risk for post-traumatic stress disorder on a post-deployment questionnaire were referred for a mental health examination. That did not account for troops who referred to primary care physicians or other treatment providers for mental health care, says blah, blah, blah. Assistant Secretary for Defense for Human Affairs, whatever that title is. Blah, blah, blah. But so that's it. They're not taking care of these troops. They come back from the war. You know, I heard it on the internet. Somebody, Doug Basham was having said somebody was calling him. He's a local guy. He does a radio show. He's a liberal. And then he was like, I'm not. But he was talking to somebody. Some trooper came back and he couldn't handle coming back, and he had flashbacks or something like that. He ended up committing suicide. So it was a horrible story. Representative Cunningham's plea. Oh, this guy Duke. You got Duke. You got Dusty. You got Troop Shooter Libby or Shooter Cheney, Scooter Libby. Duke Cunningham's plea was only the start, according to the Associated Press. The political scandal that brought down Duke Cunningham didn't end when the Vietnam War hero began serving his 8-year sentence for taking millions of dollars in bribes. Duke was sentenced in March. The case has turned into a sprawling federal investigation with all the earmarks of a soap opera, money, power, and sex, including the Watergate Hotel. What's with these Republicans in that damn hotel? You know what I mean? If you're going to do anything illegal, don't do it in the Watergate Hotel. That always blows up in their faces.
I have a feeling some bad
Absolutely.
Stuff is about to go down.
Yeah, because they don't forget that's where Monica Lewinsky lives in that damn hotel, too. So
you are one pathetic loser.
Yeah. The case is blah, blah. I'm going to skip around here. Let me see here. Cunningham plead guilty to accepting $2.4 million in bribes from defense contractors, notably Brent Wilkes.
He's a fag.
Brent Wilkes has given Mr. Fogo, which is Dusty Fogo, expensive gifts in recent years, including one person.
That word's getting kind of old. It's not really funny anymore.
Yeah, they're going to have to come up with a new swear word soon.
Uh-oh.
Well, they can't use fag.
Uh-oh.
Because you can't say fag unless you're a homosexual.
He's a fag.
You got Dusty Fogo. One person with knowledge of the case today, a European trip included a rental of a castle in Scotland, and a Hawaiian trip included a stay at a resort that cost more than $20,000 per night for two families. Jeez Louise. And it's also from Friday, but the NSA...
Laughable, man.
NSA whistleblower to expose more unlawful activities. People are going to be shocked. This is from Friday. A former intelligence officer for the National Security Agency said Thursday he plans to tell Senate staffers next week, which is this week, that unlawful activity occurred at the agency under the supervision of General Michael Hayden, Tim Conway, beyond what has been publicly reported, while hinting that it might have involved the illegal use of space-based satellites and systems to spy on U.S. citizens. Can you imagine that they're using the satellites and all that to spy on us? This is ridiculous. He said he plans to tell the committee staffers that the NSA conducted illegal and unconstitutional surveillance of U.S. citizens while he was there with the knowledge of Hayden. Disgusting. This is just keeps going. You know, they're using the satellites to spy on us now. Friday, Bush waives deployment of guard to the border. We talked about that on Monday. And then fighting between Iraq Army kills two. So now they're fighting amongst themselves, the Iraqi Army units are fighting amongst themselves. An armed confrontation between two Iraqi Army units left one soldier. There we go. There's the war. There's the uncivil war. And one soldier, one civilian dead Friday, raising questions about the U.S. trained forces' ability to maintain control, blah, blah, blah. So now the Iraqi troops are fighting amongst themselves. So it's unbelievable. And this is Newt Gingrich. on the NSA phone programs. He said administration's conduct can't be defended by reasonable people. The disclosure of the NSA's domestic call tracking program has drawn criticism from some of Bush's key allies. House Majority Leader John Boehner, of course, he's the one passing out tobacco industry lobby checks on the House floor years ago. Remember him? He's now the House Majority Leader. I am concerned about what I read with regard to NSA databases of phone calls. Representative Deborah Price, while I supported aggressively tracking al-Qaeda, the administration needs to answer some tough questions about the protection of our civil liberties. And then, of course, there's Lindsey Graham from the impeachment thing for Clinton. The idea of collecting millions or thousands of phone numbers doesn't fit into our following the enemy. He makes me sick. Especially when he bashed poor John Dean a month or so when he was up there testifying about the censure hearing, you know, bashing, like, lecturing him about Nixon and Watergate. I mean, hello, the guy was there. I mean, you were in your diapers when that was going on. Thursday on Fox, Newt Gingrich added his name to the growing list of bipartisan critics of the program. He says, I don't think the way that they've handled this can be defended by reasonable people. It's sloppy, it's contradictory, and frankly, for normal Americans, it makes no sense to listen to these three totally different explanations. Now, of course, the Republicans are not reasonable anyway, so, I mean, what's the difference? So, I think with that, I think Justin from the Dunkelvent, then? Centurion? Yep, we'll bring him on. I haven't talked to him in a while. Oh. Justin, are you there, sir?
Sean?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
You get your usual accompaniment, but that's all right. No donkey. Enough of the donkey.
I've been forgotten.
No, it's been a while. Well, I think the donkey was gored by the... did you really hear that story about the bear eating a monkey at the zoo?
I saw the picture.
Oh, you saw it? Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, it's horrible. A bear, and I can't believe Yahoo put the picture up, you know?
Anything to get more clicks.
Well, usually they don't. Usually some of those stories, you know, they don't put pictures of dead bodies up, you know? Usually they blur them up or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just when Mother Nature, like, attacks Mother Nature. They don't care.
Yeah, but, you know, kids, you know, people, you know, see the poor monkey gets mauled by the bear. Guys, we stand there and watching that. Oh, man, that had to be horrible.
They're the Al Jazeera of the animal kingdom.
So, anyway, this is Justin from the Dunkelvent's Centrist Political Blog. Welcome back.
Hey, good to be back.
Yes.
It's been like 3-4 weeks?
Yes, it's been a little while. Yes, it's this is my birthday edition of the program, and here in my birthday suit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I am not on the web. I am not watching the webcam.
Yeah, nor do you want
to. I just clicked it off.
This is done. Pay-per-view special, you know what I mean?
No, you would have to pay people, right?
Yeah. Actually, Katie Sackhoff's waiting at my house for me when I go home. Ah, I'm kidding. I wish. Yeah. But anyway, so what's going on?
Oh, you know, nothing. I mean, it's just...
it's been slow, Dave.
You know, there's not much going on at all, Sean. I mean,
what did you think about the illustrious leader, King George, with his speech last night, huh?
You know what? Here's the thing. I give Bush a lot of grief, and I think, you know, well earned. But you know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I mean, like the plan that he laid out, I think, is the best plan that we can have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we're talking about guest worker program. We're talking about, you know, securing the borders. Now, I feel that it should have been done a lot sooner.
Yeah.
But if we're really gonna solve this problem, it has to be a mixture of things. We can't deport everybody. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And but I think that first, obviously, a lot of effort has to be put into making sure that those borders are secure. And he's going to put up to, I believe it's 5,000 or 6,000 more people on the border.
Mm-hmm.
And, putting technology, making sure that our borders are secure. I mean, that's, you know, this, I think this is a, it's less an immigration issue, honestly, for me, and it's more a national security issue. And, if our borders are porous and our ports are porous, then we open ourselves up to risk of, backdoor attack, right?
As opposed
to, you know, people getting on planes and running, launching them into buildings.
I agree. Well, what about the Canadian border? You know what I mean? That's as more wide open than the Mexican border. At least there's a somewhat of a fence in Mexico. There's nothing in Canada.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I think that we should defend both of our borders.
Yeah.
But if we're, I mean, if right now we're talking about immigration, mm-hmm. Then you know we're going to focus on the Mexican border. Although mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are a fair number of people that come through the Canadian border. I mean, I remember back when I was, I was like 16, and I went up there, and I was canoeing up there in the Boundary Waters area near Ely, Minnesota, and you would go through some of these lakes, and literally, like on the other side of the lake, would be Canada.
Yeah.
And you know, anybody could just like come through and you know pop a boat in, and I mean that's how I'm pretty sure that's how they get like marijuana over.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy.
Yeah, from Canada to America.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was listening to some radio show last night, and they talked about what I said, that there are some spots, border crossings up there in from the United States to Canada, where it's only up at 9 to 5, and they say, oh, it's closed. Go to the video phone and pick it up, and now they have time. The video phone doesn't work. Or, like I said, there's a one crossing where there's a family of ducks patrols it after hours. You know, it's like, what the hell's going on? You know what I mean? Really, you know, and they, I don't know if you watched CNN yesterday, but they ran some report about the there's a fence down there by San Diego where it goes into the water, but you could just swim around that fence in the United States, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, these are the things. I mean, we just need to get better border security mm-hmm. in general. I mean, we cannot, listen, here's the thing. Somebody sneaks a dirty bomb into a city, right?
Yeah.
Detonates it. We're talking about, again, tens of billions of dollars. I mean, it's worth it now. It was, you know, it was definitely worth it a few years ago, but it's worth it now to make sure that our borders are secure, right? And if you're going to make sure that the borders are secure, then you also, I mean, Bush talked about the idea of the melting pot here, in the United States. I mean, and that's true. I mean, mm-hmm. we have a lot of illegal immigrants in the country who, you know, come here, contribute to the society, raise families, you know, and they just they contribute,
yeah.
They are a vital part of our economy.
Yeah,
don't kid yourself.
No, you can't throw them out. Like I say, much I hate to say, I agree with Bush's policy. I mean, it's middle. You know, it's not gonna make everybody happy. It's like kind of straight down the middle. His program. You know.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it's a very moderate program. And I mean, here's the thing. I honestly don't think that Kerry would have come out with something that's much different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Bush is talking about an amnesty. He's talking about the, a guest worker program. He's talking about securing the borders. This is something that, you know, a Democratic candidate would have proposed,
yeah.
too. So I think honestly, like, Bush has angered liberals and moderates, you know, to quite a degree. And mm-hmm. I don't know if he's reaching out with this specific plan,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that he's going to get a lot of traction. However, I respect the plan, and I mm-hmm. think that it's a decent one, and I think right now it makes the most sense.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, I don't know how is he going to propose his plan, because you know what, the House has already passed a version of immigration reform, and the Senate's haggling something out now. So what are they going to? Bush is going to propose another one. So now they're going to go back to the drawing board and start all over again. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
that's just the thing. He's
a little late.
This administration is really it really seems to be falling apart, and they it might be too little, too late.
Yeah.
Especially because you have a lot of momentum behind and especially in conservative circles. Mm. I mean, I know that there was at least one conservative blogger that called for Bush's impeachment over this immigration plan that he was proposing. Not recently, but before it was proposed. So maybe she was angry about something that she thought was going to happen but didn't. I forgot exactly, but it was LaShawn Barber.
Oh.
You have the conservative blogosphere just like saying, oh, he blew it, since conservatives are kind of, you know, staying away from Bush,
yeah.
But he's kind of like, you know, box office poison right now, because his numbers are so low, and Roe might be indicted, and you know, there's so many bad things going on with this administration, the NSA stuff. You don't really know what the conservatives are going to do. They might not take this moderate stance. They might say, listen, we just need to, you know, we need to secure the borders and then get it, you know, get as many illegal immigrants out of this country as we can.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of the thing that happened with CNN right before the speech? I don't know if you saw that. I was watching CNN, and then I guess NBC gave a false signal to the networks, and the CNN went right to it. You know, and all of a sudden Bush started and stopped again. You know, started and stopped, and then he started again.
Well, I mean, to that I just say, when it rains, it pours, right? I mean, like, nothing can go right for this guy. I don't think CNN did it on purpose.
No.
Like, I just think that, you know, it was just one of those things that happens, and so you cut in, and you know, somebody might have thought, oh, man, you know, they might not have been paying attention.
That looked horrible.
And they made him look kind of goofy. Yeah. But, you know, again, I'll say, like, the speech, I think a lot of people didn't like the speech, but, you know, it was... It made quite a bit of sense,
mm-hmm.
and I think that, you know, he wasn't gonna win any friends, really. But polls today show that basically the country's half and half on what he said last night.
Boy.
And so, you know, let me just say, Sean, that's a you know, pretty good achievement considering where his poll numbers are. Right
oh
now.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, half and I'm sure he'll take half and half.
Yeah,
right?
Well, he said I was listening to it. I'm like, well, this does make sense. I mean, you know, give the people who've been here, you know, a certain amount of years, you know, road to be citizenship, but not getting in front of those people who've been in line. I think USA Today had a story about some woman. She's been waiting since 1977 to become a resident, you know, a citizen of the United States. So put them behind her and all the others. That makes sense. And then, like he said, he goes about the enforcement. We need to hold employers to account for their, you know, for the workers that they hire. Yeah, there's laws in the book right now. So I'm reading this as he's going to start, you know, making them enforce the laws that are already on the books.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, he talked about having, you know, more. Identification papers that have biometric, mm-hmm. You know, information
which
on it.
Which is smart.
They couldn't be forged. Yeah, and I think that's smart. And I, you know, I work at a technology company, and I've actually talked with somebody who has a biometrics company. So, you know, I mean, those types of things are really hard to spoof.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you have this guest worker program. That's kind of an interesting thing. And I actually liked an idea that Newt Gingrich came up with that. They work in this country for 5-6 years, however long they work, and you put aside a certain amount of money, say, like, you know, I don't know, a tenth of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can only get it if they go back to their country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's basically like, you know, I mean, when you're talking about capitalism, when you're talking about democracy, you're talking about, you know, providing incentives for people to do stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what kind of, like, drives our economy. And so...
True. Yeah, but can our government handle a program like that? Yeah, as I was looking at this, oh my God, can our government juggle this? You know what I mean? You know, I mean, we all,
well, can they? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, you know, the whole idea of big government, I mean, has just, you know, taken on new meaning with Bush. I mean,
yeah.
it hasn't shrunk.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot of conservatives aren't very happy about that.
No.
But you know, and you were talking about your earned amnesty and earned citizenship,
mm-hmm.
and I think, you know, I think the time it takes to become a citizen needed to be cut down considerably, because I mean, yeah, people are they're here for, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years.
It's ridiculous.
And that's just nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, it needs to be, you know, definitely shortened.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we can go through this process, and we can shorten it up, and we can get rid of some of the red tape and come up with a more common sense approach.
How about they get a job and they keep the job, or, you know, gainfully employed for like 5 years, and then they become a citizen? Yeah, you know, this 20 years, you know, is really outrageous.
That's probably an exception, but
yeah.
I know that. I mean, I just know there are some people that I personally know,
mm-hmm.
Who, you know, are very you know, they want to become American citizens. They're you know, good workers, good citizens, don't break the law. I mean, none of that, right? And, you know, they have to jump through all of these hoops to become a citizen. And it's you know, we need to make sure that we don't let too many people in, obviously, but for the people who are really, you know, putting a lot of a lot back into our nation, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to mean it doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, economics. You know, I mean, I think that we should have a shorter period of time for those people to become citizens.
Yeah, and then also I'm on your blog right now, which is dunkelflint.com, and then they talk about the Al Gore appearance on Saturday Night Live. That came out of nowhere.
Huh? Yeah, it was pretty funny. Well, I mean, you see, a lot of people think it came out of nowhere, but he's promoting a movie called A Global Crisis, I believe.
True.
And so he's promoting that movie, and that's why you're seeing Gore around the circuit right now, and everybody's saying, "Oh, Gore in 2008." But I mean, it's just he's just on this movie tour.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm curious to see the movie. I think the whole idea of the global warming thing is no longer a myth.
Yeah, it's so, not pie in the sky.
I thought the Al Gore thing was funny. You know, it was a parallel universe. So I was kind of dismayed because I was reading on some of these conservative blogs and they're just like, oh, you know, he's a joke and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, you know, it's supposed to be a parallel universe. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to, I mean, cars running on trash. Don't you get it? You know, like it's not supposed to be taken seriously.
Yeah. George W. Bush is the baseball commissioner and
I mean that's probably what George W. Bush wanted to be more than he wanted to be president. I mean, I think he even said that, you know? If he didn't get elected in 2000, he wanted to be the baseball commissioner.
Well, he still could be, you never know, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. I have a feeling that he probably could, but you know, he's going to have to wait a little while before he, you know, comes back into favor. You never know if he can turn his poll numbers around, but historically, presidents who have poll numbers this late into their second term don't really recover from them.
No, like I said a couple weeks ago, you stick a fork in him, you know, he's done. But then also, what else is on your blog? Do you have
we have a ton of NSA stuff.
Yeah, I see that. Now, how's that been playing? It's really rolling out of control. I don't know if you read the supposedly the whistleblower is going to testify that it's the tip of the iceberg with the phone tapping. Apparently, it also involves spy satellites as well.
Yeah, so, this is the thing.
And cloning.
People are discussing the legality of it, and you know, I honestly don't give a shit about the legality of it. You know, they take an approach to data collection where they think more is better. Mm-hmm. There are numerous experts who say more is not better. More gives you more noise. It gives you more false positives. You don't want false positives. That's going to lead you down a road, and it's going to take man hours and all this other stuff. You want to identify people who fly over to Afghanistan or come from certain types of countries, right, where there are terrorist organizations. You want to locate those people and see their social networks around them and see who they talk to. You don't want to get my phone records. You don't want to see who I'm calling.
No.
Because it doesn't matter. And you know, they're taking more of the Google approach. And you know, Google goes out and they grab everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they spider through all of it. And what's interesting is that these search engines, right?
Yeah.
I'm making a comparison here, but these search engines are all basically like, you know, the same anymore. You can go to Yahoo, you can go to MSN, you can go to Google, you can even go to Ask.com, and get pretty much the same types of results. They'll be equally usable, right?
Yeah.
And so now what you're seeing happen in the search technology world is you're seeing these vertical search engines come up. Because you want to, search political websites, right? Or you want to search health websites. Well, the same type of idea should apply to when you're talking about, you know, tapping phones and recording information, you know, about certain people. You have to identify key points and then radiate around those and collect that information. Don't collect the, you know, the phone records of, you know, hundreds of millions of Americans. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, especially now that these phone companies are going to get sued, and you know, if they go through, it's billions of dollars.
Oh, I know. I mean, they're not disclosing it, and you know, and it was a very, very interesting article. This lawyer who writes for the National Review and American Spectator, and you know, he does a very, very good job. And, his name is David Gertenstein Ross. And or Gartenstein Ross, and he basically pointed out, it's like, hey, this, you know, according to the FISA, this is legal. Well, this type of like just collecting, you know, your, you know, which phone number called which phone number, you know, yeah, I mean, that's legal, right? I mean, people can do that. They can take mass amounts of data as long as they're not digging in and seeing exactly what they said, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think the question we shouldn't be asking right now is it legal or not? It's just, is it right?
Yeah.
You know, because it's, you know, I would like to present you with this slope, Sean, and we're pouring water on it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, we're gonna slowly slide down into, like, where these types of data collection are every day and everything that you're, you know, all your activities are just going to be monitored and cross-tabulated, you know,
exactly.
In some big database.
Exactly.
And that is not American.
No. As I said, they said, well, we've got to stop Bush now because, you know, this sets a precedent, or, you know, lowers the bar, wherever it is, for a future president. Say if it's Hillary, they want Hillary actually to be recording all your phone calls. You know, she could take it a step further. Well, if Bush did this, I could do this. You know what I mean?
Right, and what's been so frustrating for me, I mean, you know, and I'm a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
What's been so frustrating for me is to see the level of you know, the level to which this administration has basically said, no, we can do that. You know, we can set up secret prisons.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
We can kidnap people from other countries and not charge them with anything for years. I mean, they have two Chinese Muslims right
mm-hmm.
now that they can't send back to China for fear of, you know, of reprisal from the government, so they're just stuck in limbo,
yeah.
right? Because they decided to kidnap them.
we got Gitmo, and who knows?
Yeah, you know, and it's like, and even Bush like acknowledged the other day that, you know, it was I think it was in a speech not a week ago. He thinks Guantanamo should close down, you know, and but then you know. A week before that, he said that he has broken like probably over 750 laws, right?
Yeah,
or just because he has the constitutional authority, he believes
exactly.
he has the constitutional authority to do whatever he wants to protect the nation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though he can't really demonstrate how breaking those laws or basically ignoring them has protected this nation, right? I mean, what we've been hearing from this NSA thing, this data collection thing, is that it's not actually, you know, it hasn't really provided many fruitful results, you know. And,
wow.
and I mean, let's see what, you know, like the types of results that this has provided us. See how this has made us safer. If people can demonstrate how this makes us safer, then maybe people would be okay with it. And people. I think what's interesting is that people, about 50% of the nation, they're okay with it. But I think that's when you ask a certain question, if, you know, the NSA program is helping, you know, help make us safer, are you in favor of it? Not if the NSA program, you know, if you're just collecting data, you know, to see if you know, terrorists might possibly be, mm-hmm. in connecting the dots. You know, I mean, it's the way that these polls are it's the way that these questions are in these polls, and so, you know, I mean, I just think it's a mess right now.
Yeah,
and,
well, it's maddening because you know what, you know, it's our taxpayer dollars that's going. The NSA is paying these phone companies for a copy of our phone calls, and we pay our phone bills to these phone. Like we're getting double hit. You know, our taxes are going to the NSA, and they're turning around paying these phone companies, and we're paying the bills for these phone. I mean, what is going on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's interesting way to look at it. We're funding our own surveillance.
it drives you.
We're paying for it twice. We're paying twice to be
spied on.
Yeah, spy on and looked in on.
Yeah, and then they're using the satellites to spy on us too. It's like, what the hell's going on? You know, I mean, it was some interesting footage for a late night gag reel at the White House. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and well, what's also interesting is that and just the other day, I believe it's yesterday, the couple ABC reporters, FBI, somebody from the FBI, some you know informant. Basically told them, it's like, yeah, your cell phone is being,
exactly.
being monitored because we want to see who's leaking this information.
Yeah, yeah, I read
and,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I said, tongue-in-cheek, it's a great time to be a reporter, and I mean, there's, you know, it's a double-edged sword, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have these really juicy stories where people are spying on each other again. I mean, you're talking about Watergate-era type of stuff.
Yeah.
But you also, you know, run the risk of, you know, exposing one of your, you know, your sources and having them go to jail.
Yeah.
So, you know, and,
actually,
and
we have a question for you from the chat room here. Here we
go.
A question for you, Justin, is what about this Rove indictment? Yeah, what about that? They've been buzzing around the blogs for a week now. What happened to the Rove indictment?
Well,
Truthout was all over that.
Truthout. It was a very. Truthout is a very leftist blog.
Yeah.
And or news organization. And I mean, I consider them kind of the Newsmax of the left. And so, you know, you kind of have to take what they're saying with a grain of salt when it's an exclusive like that. I'm not saying that it isn't true. Just like when, you know, if Newsmax says something, you know, and they report it. But if all the other news organizations aren't getting behind it and standing behind that particular story, then you just can't. I mean, really, all it is speculation right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, Rove quite possibly could be indicted, and then after that, he will just resign.
Oh, I hope so.
It will be.
He deserves it too, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, it seems just to kind of be a fitting end to a political career that's been fairly shady.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, the whole Valerie Plame thing, the whole thing. I mean, not saying that Joe Wilson was necessarily right, but Valerie Plame was also. I mean, she wasn't just, you know, working, you know, on the weapons of mass destruction stuff. It was also revealed that she was also working on Iran stuff as well.
Yeah.
I think what's really interesting is that there's been such a discussion. I think because Rove is a Republican, there's been such a discussion about, oh, what is a covert agent? She was in the Who's Who and you know, all this other stuff. It's like, you know what? A covert agent doesn't necessarily have to be, like, you know, in a country doing, you know, kind of clandestine work, right? That's not how it works, you know? You have covert agents that just seem like normal people. That's the trick, right?
Well, how about the Cheney business now today? That's been breaking all over about him. The story about Wilson wrote the op-ed for the, what is it, New York Times, and he's writing in the margins. That's interesting.
Oh no, I didn't hear
that. Oh yeah, there's some. I guess Wilson wrote some kind of op-ed for one of the papers. Anyway, Libby's attorneys, I guess, put this into the evidence now that Cheney wrote comments about his op-ed in the margin. So now it's saying it's going to implicate Cheney now in this whole, you know, Scooter Libby, Shooter Cheney scandal.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know what's really interesting? It seems like a lot of this stuff, from what we've been hearing, a lot of this stuff is coming out of Cheney's office.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff about the NSA, a lot of the stuff about, you know, we can do whatever we want. I think Cheney possibly played quite a big role in essentially assuring the president that he had the constitutional authority to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't excuse Bush from, you know, having, you know, taking responsibility. However, it can explain, you know, maybe a little bit more about, you know, Cheney might just be extremely ruthless. You know, you have, I don't know what was written in the margins. I mean, I would have to read these stories and see what's going on. But, I mean, you know, it was, I think the Cheney thing actually, he had already been implicated sort of with the Libby stuff. But nothing had really, there was nothing solid. And honestly, like, I would have to get this information and read this stuff.
Yeah.
Before I'd really, like, you know, have any, you know, solid opinion about it. But,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Cheney's office and, you know, they're trying to make the case for WMDs. I mean, it's not surprising that he tried to, you know, discredit, you know, what he felt was incorrect information. So
yeah, I mean, it's evidence that was discredited before they even came out with this evidence. You know, it's what drives me crazy. You know, it's stuff that they knew before they sent Powell out there to, you know, rattle that vial there of anthrax in front of the UN. And they knew all that stuff before all this happened, that all that evidence was bunk, you know?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, they cherry picked intelligence they built the case for war.
Yeah.
They didn't have the evidence build it for them.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, I mean, what can you say to that? You know, I wasn't for the war. I wasn't for the war as a, you know, a liberation war, which a lot of people, I would say that a lot of people who are on the left and who are basically known as liberal hawks, you know, they thought Saddam was a tyrant and he needed to go.
Yeah.
And yes, Bush and company did sell the war in, you know, saying that we need to be a liberating force. But that was about 5% of it. Oh. And, you know, we all know why people wanted, you know, people were like, yeah, we need to go into Iraq. It's because, you know, it was a threat of WMDs, a threat of the mushroom cloud, a threat of, you know, the mustard gas, all this other stuff. Mm. This stuff getting into the hands of the terrorists and, you know, making their way over here. So, yeah, the whole war thing, I mean, that's going to be debated, I think, for many, many years to come. But it's really, it's definitely started, and it's picking up steam, and I feel that it's going to continue to drive Bush's numbers down as more and more of this information comes out, and the appearance of all of this stuff just it looks like a pattern of just doing whatever it took to get us into war.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And people don't like to be, you know, people don't like to basically think that their country wasn't, you know, acting with prudence. They weren't saying, you know what? I mean, maybe these guys aren't such a threat to us.
Yeah.
Because they see the number of, you know, men and women who've died over there. The number of, not only the number of American men and women who have died, but also the number of, you know, innocent Iraqis who have died.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, so at the end of our little segment here, we're going to let you go.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We'll talk, talk to you in a couple weeks.
Just drop me a line.
Thank you very much. That was thank you very much, Justin.
Hi,
lost track of time there. Sorry. That was Justin from the Donkelvent Centrist Political Blog, and we'll be back for the second hour in just a couple minutes, and we'll have Rohan on from Pop Culture Junkies, and then after him will be Koenig Rules with our Battlestar Galactica Doctor Who review, and we'll be right back. Thank you very much.
Vegas, Nevada. You're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And we are back. That was the squeaky door I came through. I don't know. Welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. And it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, live at LVRocks.com and also part of the podcast over at antiradio.net and the Meeker Broadcasting podcast. Thank you. Thank you, everybody listening live, and everybody, all four of us in the chat room. Thank you. And a huge crowd. That's what you get. We get charged to get in the chat room. We charge $2 a person to get in the chat room. Nobody comes into the damn thing. And I had a good first hour talking about the Bush BS speech from, I shouldn't say BS. I agree with the, kind of middle ground he's taken on that, so I agree. I mean, you need a little common sense in this immigration stuff that's going on. So, and now we'll bring on Rohan from Pop Culture Junkies. Wow. And Rohan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what do you think of that music?
Huh?
What do you think of that music? Can you hear the music? Not really. Oh,
nothing. Nothing.
There you
good.
Go. I guess they block us out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, right? You're calling from Ann Arbor?
Yeah, I'm from Ann Arbor. Well, it's kind of lousy over here.
Thank you. Well, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Now, give her a quick bio about yourself.
Well, I'm finishing up my English degree here at the University of Michigan, and in the fall, I'm going to be doing a master's over at Sarah Lawrence
for
fiction in New York. So. Mm.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Really? And now you're a blogger over at Pop Culture Junkies, right?
Yeah, I'm over at Pop Culture Junkies. And, just kind of like, I've been keeping the snark up there, every now and then.
Well, you're big on celebrity gossip, right?
Yeah, I love celebrity gossip.
Really?
I also have a real fascination with TV.
TV, really? Now, what's the big news? What's the big celebrity gossip right now?
Well, right now, today ABC unveiled their whole upfront thing.
Ah.
And the biggest thing was that Grey's Anatomy suddenly got the boot to Thursday.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they're moving these shows around a little bit, huh?
Yeah, and I honestly think that was probably the worst thing they could have done, because they're trying to launch new shows behind Desperate Housewives, but they don't realize that show's kind of tanking. So you think that would have gotten them boot to Thursday, where it probably could outperform like the OC on Fox or something.
Ah. Yeah, and then what else is getting booted? Now what? Hope and Faith, that was canceled, right?
Hope and Faith was canceled. I'm sure Freddie also got canceled.
Oh well, I won't miss that show.
I know. I guess if worst comes to worst, Freddie Prinze could always be Denny Crane's, his illegitimate son on Boston Legal, since they haven't canceled that yet.
You think they'll move? Has he already been on that show?
Huh?
Has Freddie Prinze already been on?
Yeah, he's been on it for a few episodes in its past couple seasons that it's been on.
Really?
Really can't play off William Shatner that well, but I guess, I'm not really sure. I'm not too fond of the show ever since The Practice went off the air back in, 2001 or something.
That's right, yeah, that was a spinoff, more or less, of The Practice with Shatner and Candace Bergen and all them. And now also they canceled Invasion is gone, right?
They canceled Invasion, and I heard that the CW, the whole hybrid merger between UPN and the WB,
mm-hmm.
They have expressed an interest in wanting to pick up the Invasion.
Really?
So, yeah, because there's a real drought for good pilots over there.
How about Sci-Fi Channel picking up Invasion? There you go. That makes sense.
I think they could do with some really good shows over there. Besides Doctor Who and maybe Battlestar Galactica, I can't imagine what they've got going for them over there.
Yeah
but can they
Can they afford it?
Afford the cast? Because they got Fitcher, the sheriff, and you know he's a pretty good actor. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, this expensive cast. Right. Yeah, sci-fi is known to do stuff on the cheap. You know, but I don't know.
I mean, maybe they could just get something like an 8-episode order or something. You know.
Yeah, do like 10 episodes like they did with Battlestar. You could do like 10 episodes.
Right.
And then what's the other new shows? They have some new shows coming on.
The one I'm really looking forward to is it's called Big Day. It's been touted as this whole crossover between 24 and Father of the Bride.
Yeah.
And it's basically, it tracks like the chaotic goings on between like a couple who's trying to plan their wedding or whatever. And it stars Marla Sokoloff. So I'm really a fan of anything that gets her back onto TV.
Yeah, and then the chat room saying Service was canceled, and so was Invasion was canceled as well. So all the sci-fi shows on networks don't last very long.
They don't, except for Supernatural over on the WB. They're saying that it's got some good buzz on carrying over, so might always be a good thing.
Really? And then what else the other?
And then Lost, and everyone knows Lost is doing really well. And I don't know how much that really goes for sci-fi, but... You never know with some of the plot strings that they're pulling over there.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Lost, but I mean, I kind of saw it last week. It looks like they're taking a sci-fi turn with that show, though, huh?
Right. Yeah. Well, I've never really had the chance to watch it this season because it's always been up against Veronica Mars, and you know, I have to be loyal to Veronica Mars because that show never let me down.
Now she had her season finale last week.
Yeah, they did, and I'd say it's probably been one of the. Yeah, I think it's kind of neck and neck for me with even like the 6 Feet Under series finale.
Really?
From 2 years ago. It was some really intense stuff. And I didn't see the ending coming from anywhere, you know?
Huh.
Yet it completely made sense with everything they were tying together.
Right. What was the ending? Was it Angela Lansbury showing up as her grandmother? No? Murder, She Wrote.
Well, I guess anything that gets her back on TV in the weird teen noir detective show wouldn't be a bad idea either.
And then, tonight, of course, is the season. I got the from USA Today. We have the NCIS season finale, the Boston Legal season finale, the units.
I don't really follow NCIS, and I've just become so detached from Boston Legal after the first season because they dump characters on that show like crazy.
Really, and then the Scrubs season finale is tonight. Law and Order SVU. That's also has its season finale.
Right.
Tomorrow's the Amazing Race season finale. Bones, Top Model, Invasion, of course, is canceled. And then CSI New York, Law and Order. So all the season finales are.
I think the OC's finale is also on this Thursday, I believe.
Now,
I think it's the one where everyone thinks that Misha Barton might be dying, maybe not.
Because they said I saw something on the Yahoo that she probably won't be back for the next season of the series.
Yeah, which kind of makes me sad because although her acting was awful. And, like, whenever I saw it on the TV, I really wanted to gouge my eyes out or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to miss her because, like, you always need that one character on a show like that that you can make fun of, you know?
Yeah.
And without her there, then Ryan's going to be the only one. Ben McKenzie, his actor, he's going to be the only one. He's going to kind of drown under the fact that all his other, like, leading character actors or whatever, they can actually act and he can't, so.
Yeah, and then they said Calista Flockhart from Ally McBeal, she's come back on a nighttime soap called Brothers and Sisters.
Right, it's Brothers and Sisters, and it actually stars Rachel Griffiths from 6 Feet Under.
Now, obviously, was that show? It's made about brothers and sisters. Like, were they growing up in the same house together? Like,
something
Dallas?
Like that. And, like, there's some kind of tragedy that involves Calista Flockhart's character, and it kind of ties them back together.
Really?
Yeah. And that's actually the show that's going to replace Grey's Anatomy. It's time slot on Sundays.
And then,
which I guess they're hoping that repeats its success. But I don't know. What about Brian didn't fare too well, so who knows?
Huh. And then you say you're also a big fan of, Big Love? That's that
Mormon show,
right?
I think the fact that Chloe Sevigny, she can hold her own like week after week, I think that just shows just what a great actress she is. And then you also have a couple of Veronica Mars like stars crossing over into there, and you have Bill Paxton over there, and you have the other two wives, Jeannie Triplehorn and Jennifer Goodwin, and they're both so fantastic that the show on its own is pretty solid. My only gripe is that HBO is kind of weighing itself down with so much pretension. I'm not sure.
And then
I feel like it's kind of on its way out, and Showtime's really like taking over.
Really? And then the Gilmore Girls. Now the creator, right, isn't right? The creator or the the first producer is leaving the show or something? Is that
right? Yeah. The creator and her husband, and they've penned about like maybe. I don't know what the number is, like 90 out of 120 or 130 episodes. I could be wrong with the number. They pretty much like penned all of those episodes. And yeah, they're on their way out. And Dave Rosenthal, who's like executive produced a whole bunch of shows or whatever, he's supposed to be taking over next season. And I honestly don't think the show can go any further down because the season finale was just a big disaster.
Really? Now, I said last week, the big trivia question is the bed and breakfast that they use on that show actually is the old Walton's house from the Waltons.
Really?
Yes. I don't know if you realize that. Yes.
Okay. I figured that I heard somewhere that like the entire like Stars Hollow town where most of the show takes place is like actually like the Warner Brothers Studios back lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the same where they shoot Desperate Housewives and.
Okay.
Yeah, where Desperate Housewives shoots. The only house that they try not to shoot because they have to kind of shoot around it is the Munsters' house. It's on the same row of houses with the Desperate Housewives.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess that would explain Terry Hatcher or something. I don't know. Honestly, I'd like to see Terry Hatcher get into fisticuffs with Lauren Graham. There's one like feud I'd put down good money to see.
I'm surprised. Actually, Terry Hatcher's getting a lot of ink for their autobiography to talk about
the molestation
and all this stuff. So she's really getting some ink and how she's desperately seeking a boyfriend and all this stuff. So
and then her weird like faux Ryan Seacrest boyfriend thing. I'm not totally convinced. I don't know. I think she needs to kind of tone down the stunts. Because it's just like her character on the show. She's just way too stunt happy.
Yeah. And then what else we have going on? And then now what about Britney Spears now? Now she's on Letterman last week or 2 weeks where it was and says she's pregnant again, right?
Right. And then if you log onto her website, she's got this weird stream of consciousness blog. And I'm using air quotes around the word blog because I'm not convinced that it's a blog. She says that she's no longer doing Kabbalah, that her baby is now her new religion.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I don't know if she's referring to Sean Preston or the one that's in her stomach, but either way, one of the babies is getting shortchanged. Or maybe she could be referring to K-Fed as someone who's saying over at Pop Culture.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said, you're talking about her husband. Yeah.
Right, you know.
I don't know.
So it's kind of iffy, you know. And so I don't think Madonna's going to be too happy either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, what is Madonna? Now, rumors are Madonna's going to sign some deal with one of the big hotels here in Vegas. So I haven't been able to pinpoint that down, but
really?
That's the rumor, yes. Because Caesars is still Celine Dion is the big headliner at Caesars Palace, and she's not going to renew her full contract. Apparently, she's only going to be there for 10 weeks next year. So they're trying to get somebody else to pick up the slack from Celine Dion. Supposedly, Madonna might be one of them. Who else? Madonna or Cher might be taking up the slack.
Oh, you mean to perform?
Yes.
Okay. I guess, you know what, I'm not really a huge Madonna fan, but I guess between her and Celine Dion, she's definitely the lesser of two evils. So, you know, power to her trying to relieve Las Vegas of Celine Dion.
Yeah. Well, you don't like Celine Dion?
I can't say that I do. She's not the best French singer out there.
Oh, well, yeah. She caught a lot of flack for that Larry King appearance where she was bawling her eyes out over the New Orleans. Now, you said you don't. Will and Grace is what? Thursday night, right?
Part two of the finale is this Thursday.
Part two. So now this will be the series finale? Or is it?
Yeah, the series finale, sorry, yeah.
Now, is that going to be a 30-minute show or is it an hour? They're going to go an hour for the series finale.
It's actually going to be 2 hours.
Oh, really?
8 to 9 is like this weird retrospective thing, and I think 9 to 10 is going to be like the actual show itself. And then the show, what it's going to do is it's going to have Grace get back together with Leo, supposedly. And Leo's her husband who cheated on her, and then now they're getting back together because she's pregnant with his baby. And then the show does kind of a weird thing where they just kind of wonder what everyone's future will be like.
Huh, that's interesting. Well, they had Conan was in Chicago. Conan O'Brien was in Chicago last week, and he had on the actor plays what's his name on that show. Jack?
Harry Connick Jr.?
No.
Oh, Jack. Sean Hayes.
He was on, and Conan says, how come they don't do a spinoff Now, with his character and the other one, what's her name?
Karen.
Yeah, they should do a spinoff of those two. And I guess, I don't know, either they don't want to do it anymore or the network just thinks that, they beat that horse to death. You know what I'm saying?
I think, if you look at the way Friends reacted to the spinoff, that could probably kind of foretell the future. And the reason we love Karen and Jack so much is because you have Grace and, what's his name? Will and Grace. You have them to kind of temper everything around. So if you don't have, the normal characters around, then the other two will just be, they'll just be gagged, you know?
Yeah.
And the gag will only work for so long before no one's watching the show any longer.
Yeah, plus, well, she's getting her own daytime talk show, so that's part of the thing that she's going off to do that. And plus, I imagine to give her voice a chance to recover, because that's not her real voice she uses on that show.
That's, an octave higher than her real voice.
Yeah, and then what else? They also have Ted Danson. It says ABC is bringing Ted Danson back to primetime, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
And apparently Jane Kaczmarek from Malcolm in the Middle, she's in that lucky position where as one show's ending, she might be getting a regular stint on Ted Danson's new show.
Ah. Well, they just keep turning up on all these shows. You know, one show gets canceled, it goes off the air, they just show up on another one.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, unfortunately, not all actors are that successful.
Yeah.
Like, you take Dylan McDermott from The Practice. I think, he's been pretty under the radar, even though he's been trying to film movies and stuff. Ever since, he got pink slip from the show.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's been kind of invisible. And the other one, the heavyset woman, what's her name?
Cameron Manheim.
Yeah, she's done a couple TV movies, but that's about it.
Actually, nominated for her role as Elvis's mom. I think last year it was. The one starring Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Oh, really? Yeah. She hasn't done anything really major, besides that.
Oh, no,
I mean,
not at all.
Yeah. And what else? Now, do you watch Law & Order or the CSI?
No.
Really?
I never really got into any of those.
Huh. Why not?
I don't know. I'm all about, interpersonal people and just, the interpersonal relationships and how crazy people can be, and all about the dysfunction rather than just how did this happen? I guess if Law and Order had more drama and chaos, it would be more like Veronica Mars. Mm-hmm. And there you go.
Yeah. Now, how about actually the chairman saying that Commander in Chief was canceled? Now that show started off so strong, and just got wiped out. They took it off the air, and there was a problem with the producers.
Yeah, wasn't it nominated for a couple Emmys or something?
I think it won. Didn't Gina Davis win an Emmy for her role?
Yeah, she won an Emmy, and what I heard was that it went to three executive producers.
Yeah.
And then for 4 months it was off the air. Then ABC brought it back, switched its time spot a couple times, and then took it off the air again after 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it just killed it. Well, plus, a lot of people, West Wing was still on. They didn't want two of those, same show.
There is good news for Commander-in-Chief, though. Uh-oh. I mean, I'm looking at TVTitle.com, which is one of my TV Bibles, and they're saying that Commander-in-Chief might return as a TV movie.
You're kidding me.
and the TV movie is going to be conditional, and if that's successful, then the actual series might order another season of the series,
So yeah, I guess that makes sense. And also, whether other shows were left, Jake in Progress, that show was canceled.
It's technically not canceled. Oh. ABC hasn't axed it. Yeah, they just, I'm not sure what they're doing, but for some reason they don't want to let John Stamos out of his contract, and as a result he can't agree to sign on to ER, which he's done last year.
Oh, that's interesting.
For 4 episodes. ER wanted him on as a full-time.
Huh. That's wild. Now, Prison Break. Everybody's asking about Prison Break. They ended their season last night, right?
Right.
And then they broke out, right? I don't watch any of these
shows.
I don't
even know how that show can last more than one season.
I don't
know. I feel like anything more is just kind of stretching it.
I think the producer saw it.
I missed the fall season, which was half the season, episodes, and then they ended in November, and then they didn't start up again until end of February, March. I started watching it from there, so I missed the first 10 or 12 episodes, but I saw a few of them because they showed it on FX. They showed
really?
The marathon.
Really?
So I saw three or four of those, so I kind of got an idea what's going on. Yeah, it is. It's kind of,
It's
kind of Battlestar Galactica. It's real slow paced.
Are you serious?
There's a lot of dialogue. So that's why you can fit all these episodes. But it's more of just breaking out of prison. He gets, he kind of, he's got to get this guy to help him, and he gets this guy to help him, and they all have stories of why they want to break out. So it's not just guys breaking out for no apparent reason.
I guess like, my problem with Prison Break was that Oz just did everything so much better.
Oz is, this has got, I saw, I think, one episode of Oz, and there's more of a plot. But this episode has more of a plot. It's not just guys in jail.
Yeah.
This is totally different.
Yeah.
Okay.
The older brother, basically the premise, the older brother gets framed for a murder of somebody important, very important.
The president's wife or something like that, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he gets framed. So his younger brother's like, I know he's innocent. I'm going to break him out of jail. And he's got this whole idea. And he's a smart guy. He gets this whole idea of breaking him out. So he goes to jail, gets in the same prison. Supposedly, the firm he worked for, because he was an architect, built the plans for that prison.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, it's more in depth. It's more of just Prison Break. See, that's a problem. That's a problem with having 20 million shows. A lot of people go by the names of the shows.
Yeah.
Prison
Break.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I think, I don't, I guess, like, after seeing Oz, I've just been, I got kind of spoiled about the whole jailbird thing.
Well, basically, now they broke out, and it's kind of left on a cliffhanger. They broke out.
So do you see, would you see it like, would you see them being able to expand the storyline beyond next season?
That's what they're going to try, supposedly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, supposedly the object is for them to break out, and he
run.
Still has, I think, an ex-girlfriend trying to find clues for his innocence. And she did at the end, because supposedly the guy they killed, somehow someone told her, I don't know, someone told her, and she went to this remote house in the middle of nowhere, and the guy that supposedly killed is sitting there, and he looks at her like,
uh-oh,
how you know I'm here?
Oh.
And they kind of leave it at that.
So he's not dead.
And the president was killed.
Really?
The president that's
on the
on
show.
The show. Because supposedly the vice president at the time, it's a woman, and they're trying to get her out of there because the powers that be trying to get her out of being a vice president because they say she can't get the job done. So I think what happens is
she
kills the vice president or kills the president so she can become president without them getting her booted out of vice president. So
that's convoluted.
Yeah, it is. There's a story. I mean, it's not just guys breaking out of prison.
Huh.
It's probably 24.
Yeah.
Which makes like perfect sense because they're both paired on the same night.
Yeah. What else is coming up? And now celebrities. Let me see what else we have. ABC's got some kind of called Let's Rob. It's a story about a show that they rob Mick Jagger.
Right. And he's not starring in it, but he's going to appear in maybe a few episodes or something. But he's definitely like executive producing it.
That sounds like that's a candidate for the first show to get canceled. I think is that
I
one.
I think
huh?
so. Well, I don't know because like I heard something about how they were in talks to like they were with Elton John and they were making a show about like someone who follows around like a gay rock star or something, which is kind of like a mock up of his own life.
Yeah.
So, but I don't see that on their fall schedule anywhere. So.
And then they also have a story called The Nine, which is a drama that tracks the lives of nine people caught up in a hostage situation. That sounds, pretty unique. And what's this?
Right.
Now, The 6 Degrees, it's from a Lost producer. Remember what that's about? Six different New Yorkers who go through life not realizing the impact they have on each other. I don't know.
That just sounds like everything else.
Yeah. Now, what about Deal or No Deal? Do you watch that?
I can't stand. I'm not really a huge game show person.
Really? So you don't watch? How about Howie Mandel? No.
Howie Mandel. Maybe back when I was like 8 and watching Bobby's World,
Now I saw him on.
He's kind of frightening nowadays.
Well, yeah, he doesn't let people shake his hand. He was on Leno last week, and he's one of them freaks like Trump. You can't shake his hand and all that. I mean, I don't know. And I also have a show here called Notes from the Underbelly, a comedy about a couple about to have a baby.
Right.
That's another one that might be eligible to be the first one canceled. And then Help Me Help You is Ted Danson as a self-help guru. So, yeah, I like this show, Becker. I wish they would have kept that on a little bit longer. But
how long did that go for?
Like 3-4 seasons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it on reruns like all the time at late night, so I thought it must have gone on for like 5 or 6 seasons or something.
Yeah, he was like a Archie Bunker type of a guy, you know.
Right.
What's the big celebrity news? Was it Nick Lachey? And now, according to the
did his show actually get picked up?
Who? Nick Lachey?
Show,
oh, no,
yeah.
No, no. I changed
subjects. Oh, wait, his show's on the CW.
Yeah. They have the, actually, the OK Magazine says that Nick wants to have a second chance with, what's her name, with Jessica. Yeah,
right.
So, I don't know, what do you think about that?
I mean, everyone knows that, like, she had him whipped, because she's the one with the money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
His music career is going nowhere fast, and I don't know, his looks are going to fade just as quick, you know, by the time he hits, like, 35. Where's she, as long as she can keep up her weird, like, I'm afraid to call it mystique, but I guess that's what you can kind of call it. If she can keep it up for another 5 years, she'll just be adding to her whole nest egg, so.
Yeah, she's doing pretty well. I mean, especially
definitely.
And they're supposed to make a sequel to Dukes of Hazzard, so.
Oh, God.
And then, he's supposed to do a series as well. I don't know if that's been picked up or not. He's been on.
The CW announces their fall schedule on Thursday, so I guess that's when we find out.
I mean, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, he was on Charmed for a while, but now that show is supposed to be drawing to an end, too. I don't see any kind of notation.
Yeah, that show got canceled. Everwood also got canceled.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's a surprise, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that show, how many years was that on? 4 years?
Was it 4 years?
I think so.
I feel like it was maybe like 3.5 or something.
Wow, so that's a surprise. Now, now, anything you want to tell the listeners before you go? We give it your own website or blog?
Well, not quite. It's all like, kind of under construction or whatever. So right now I just have Pop Culture Junkies.
Okay. And what are you working on right now for Pop Culture Junkies?
I just kind of keep – one of my whole projects, I guess, is that I try to bring in more news from like international celebrity spheres or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff that I guess more like a lot of people might be like they'll be interested in, but they might not necessarily get through like traditional media outlets.
That's cool.
Like Wafa Dufour, this raised maybe a tiny bit of controversy or something, as much as something could on Pop Culture Junkies.
Huh.
Wafa Dufour, she's Bin Laden's niece, and like she's trying to make it into the whole pop music industry and become like the next American Idol or whatever, right?
Mm.
So she's trying to work with the same people, I think, who were behind The Real World and create her own reality show to document that process.
Wow.
So now she's shopping that show around, and I haven't heard anything about it since.
Really? You think somebody will pick up that show? I don't know. With her, with the Bin Laden name on it? Ugh, I don't know.
Well, she's going to Dufour now, which I think is her mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
So she might have a better chance with it, and I don't know, like reality TV producers have done weird things, like you have Lisa Loeb her own show, so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't count this one out.
No. Huh. Well, Rowan, we'll let you go. Well, thank you for being on the program.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me.
No problem. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. And that was Rowan from PopCultureJunkies.com. And also some shocking news from HBO. HBO has confirmed it will not pick up the contract options for Deadwood cast members, indicating that the upcoming third season may be its last. So Deadwood is riding off into the sunset after once it concludes its third season. So that's a surprise. Yeah, I know one listener who happens to be Jimmy Diggs loves that show, so I'd be sad if they end up taking that off the air. And also, what else? I had some other entertainment news. What happened here? The season finales, we have, of course, Close to Home. What is that show about? Season finales Friday. Conviction. I actually like that show. I thought I'd get sick of it because it's another one of those Law & Order programs. I saw they quickly dropped the Law & Order thing off of it, but I like Conviction. And Numbers, it's that show with that Northern Exposure guy and the other one with the numbers and all that BS. Cold Case, The Simpsons season finale. Charmed, which should be the series finale. Family Guy and Desperate Housewives. I think JR's going to get shot on the Desperate Housewives. Anyway, but so that was interesting. And it was nice having Rowan on, talking a little about celebrity, lighten it up a little bit. Everybody's, you know, you get a little tired of the humdrum of the Bush and all that BS going on with the immigration and all that. I hope he's sincere, but you know, Bush has a tendency of proposing all these things and then just going on, you know, not doing it, not funding them. You know, he proposes these school program. I forget what her name is, the No Child Left Behind, but he doesn't fund the damn thing. So I mean, and then also Regis Philbin's returning to television to NBC. He is going to be where is that Regis Philbin here? I got to find my Regis Philbin story. I just had it. NBC is ready for some Regis. This is from E! Online. Regis Film is going to do a show produced by Simon Cowell. It's going to be like a talent type of a show. And then NBC is also going to be airing a show from the movie Friday Night Lights, but they're not going to air on Friday night. They're going to air it like on Tuesday night. So, I mean, that makes no sense. They're going to have a show called Friday Night Lights. You think you want to air on Friday night? You know, I would. I don't know. And then Richard Hatch from The Survivor is going to jail over his not filing his taxes on his winnings. Richard Hatch, the first winner of the hit reality series Survivor, was sentenced on Tuesday to 4 years and 3 months in federal prison for tax evasion. Wow. What a big fall from grace he had, you know. Once described by a fellow contestant as a snake, the $1 million jackpot winner on Survivor in 2000 also was ordered to undergo psychological counseling upon release and file amended tax returns to that fully reflect his winnings. So he's going to go to jail for a while. He'll be popular in there. And he was acquitted in January, which it was unclear whether Hatch would appeal the punishment. So he's going to go away for a while. And he and other contestants in the first Survivor helped launch the reality shows. Oh, they're the ones we have to blame for all this, is the Survivor. So he's going to go away for a while. And that's amazing. What the hell? You didn't think he had to pay the taxes on $1 million? You know, that's crazy. So, but I think with that, we'll bring on Koenig Rules. There he comes. Exiting the TARDIS, I see the door opening. It's Mr. Koenig Rules. Koenig, hello. Hello. Are you there, sir?
I am here.
There you go. How are you?
Just fine.
Very good.
Now, I understand you were under the weather a little bit.
A little bit. So,
did you drink too much?
I drink alcohol. Yeah, right. The only thing I drink is Pepsi. unleaded Pepsi, by the way.
By the way, did you say it was your birthday tonight?
Tomorrow is my birthday, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to do anything special?
Well, Katie Sackhoff's waiting for me at home, so I've...
that's what happened to her.
Yeah. I figured my gift was I was able to touch Aaron Douglas 2 weeks ago, or last week.
Yeah, I wasn't able to touch him this weekend. He didn't come into Chicago, which is a shame.
Oh, you're kidding me. I thought what happened? He changed his mind, or what?
It fell through, and I think they're really into the filming now.
Oh.
Wrapping up 3 and getting into episode
really
4.
Really now? I do recall seeing reports that Ever James Olmos was on Larry King last night. So
was he?
They couldn't be too tied up with filming. I mean, he could be on Larry King. You know?
Well, remember, though, with the first, with the first couple episodes, it might be that, they don't need him for every shot.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And also, tomorrow I read in the USA Today there's some kind of big... tribute show or something's going on, and at the Beverly Hills Hilton, apparently he's going to be there for that as well. So,
cool.
But yeah, I was on the Sci-Fi board, and somebody said that they saw almost was on Larry King talking about the immigration business.
Right. So, right. Oh yeah, he's very much a spokesperson for that.
Yeah. And then, give about Doctor Who here. We got the ratings from The Empty Child. They slipped again, huh?
What is it? 1.1 now.
1.04.
Household rating. Okay, the 1.1 was the week before.
Yeah, so Empty Child.
It's dropping.
Yeah, it's dropping. It was the first part of the two-parter.
Right.
An average of 1.2 million viewers. Of course, last week, the episode before was 1.4 million views, so it lost 200,000 viewers.
Yep. So, well, I don't think we need to be so concerned over whether they'll carry future seasons because, the BBC is doing the production of it, so I'm sure Sci-Fi, same thing like with Stargate 2, MGM is covering a lot of the costs, so, the ratings aren't critical.
No.
So my guess is it will still be, on sci-fi. It's just that probably not many people, you know, it's going into summer now. Mm. Not many people probably are still aware of it. You know?
Well, it was the Cinco de Mayo, so a lot of people go out and celebrate. I'm trying to come up with excuses. And then actually, Invincor was saying that Doctor Who won the BAFTA Award for Best Drama Series.
It's been winning awards every year, you know. I mean, it's a good show.
Absolutely.
It really is. And in England, it's averaging per episode
8 million viewers,
the first
or something.
Five of season two, anywhere from 8 to 9 million viewers.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's doing well in England.
Yeah. Well, Invincor says 201 A New Earth did 8.6 million viewers. So that's wonderful. And
the Rise of the Cybermen that just aired, they said 8.6, but when you tally in the final things, it's going to be closer to 9 million.
Wow.
So.
And he said Tooth and Claw did 9.24 million viewers. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. You know, it's a good show. I understand why the American. Well, I said, I mean, you're right. It's tucked between all these reruns and all that of Doctor Who or of Stargate and all that. And
and then there's some finales of series happening. You know, like on the major networks. So it's just one of. You know, I don't see Galactica ever coming back to a 2.6 or 2.7.
Wow.
Well, I don't think any show on sci-fi is going to be getting that high a rating anymore, you know?
Well, we're thinking of the idea about maybe sci-fi picking up Invasion.
I'd rather they pick up Surface.
Oh.
I mean, I saw Invasion, and I really liked it near the end, but I think Surface they can better handle only because a lot of those people are more unknown. You don't have to pay the cost of their salaries as much. And they did show Surface on sci-fi, all of the 15 episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that maybe. There's talk about it being picked up on CW2 Invasion. I think that's dead. You know?
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Interesting.
Too much happened too late. They lost a significant number of viewers.
Yeah, and then it came back to this last Doctor Who, the second parter was.
Wasn't that great?
I thought it was excellent. They entitled it "What the Doctor Dances."
Right, and he does.
Oh, it was incredible, and you could tell there's a little sparks there between Rose and the Doctor now.
That's
they picked up with the. Zombies or they are coming at them, and then Jack finally remembers the
go to your room
his ray gun, whatever that thing is, and he they fall through the floor, they go through the wall, he blasts a hole in the wall and they go through the wall and everything,
then they go through the floor,
they go, that was Rose firing a thing down to the floor and they all fall through. So I mean, I like, you know, she's a little more industrious than the other assistants.
Assistant
used to just stand there and scream, right?
Yes. I mean, she's shocked too, but she manages to get them out of sticky jams. And you're right. You're right. By the end of the episode, you could see there was an attraction there between the Doctor and her, and Jack was just looking on, but.
Yeah.
He's got both preferences, so, you know.
And the doc-
not going to get too jealous.
No, and the Doctor tells her, you know, he kind of clues her in that, there's no race, no alien species he turned down or something like that.
That's right.
So, I mean, he clued her in kind of.
The Earthmen have evolved.
And he said, and also they stumble upon the that room 802 where they learn that the empty child was affected by the Chula ship. So that was Jack doing that.
Right.
Yeah,
I just loved by the end of it, you know, because it was one of the scariest things, almost like a horror film. And by the end of it, it was so uplifting, where he saved everyone.
Yeah,
he saved Jack. He saved the kid. You know, he was able to morph the people back into being human. It was so uplifting by the end. I mean, he was on a high.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's what made the show. I mean, that's who. In a nutshell, I mean, you know, where the Doctor comes in and is able to pull them through a crisis.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I thought this was the best of the two-parters so far.
Yeah, well, he said, he goes there, you know, he was so happy that, you know, it's, you know, this time everybody lives, Rose. He kept saying, everybody lives.
That's right. Well, he's recalling, too, remember the time with the his own race.
Oh, yes.
That they all died, so he was really high in terms of, now I can make a difference and save everyone.
Yeah.
So it was good. And yeah, that was her kid. That's unbelievable, huh?
Yeah.
And it wasn't her brother. It was her own kid.
Her own son. That's why he kept saying, "You my mommy. Are you my mommy? Are you my mommy?"
Right. So, I mean, the nanobites.
Yeah. Yeah. The nanobites, and then he said when the nanobites are floating around, you know, come on, see it. You know, I like the acting is just incredible. You know, and then you know the nanobites realize they are mother and son, and you know it reverses and they take off the mask, and the kid's fine. That was a nice scene too.
It was really cool how they linked it all together, because if you recall an Empty Child, they had the nanobites treat Rose's hands.
Yeah.
And she was holding on the rope, so it was sort of like, wow, they've linked everything together, even from the first episode to the second. So it was really, I was just so impressed with it the first time I saw it.
Yeah, and Invincor is saying that the best line in Dr. Dance's, who has a sonic screwdriver, who looks at a screwdriver and goes, oh, this could be a little more sonic. And then that woman saying her leg grew back or something like that, and he goes, "It's possible you miscounted." It was at the end there when they're by the railroad, wherever it is, the track, wherever it is, the warehouses, and all, it's like all hell's going to break loose with the bomb and everything else.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the whole thing just on a dime, the whole episode just turned. You know?
Right. And Jack is holding on to that bomb.
Yeah.
So that doesn't explode. But then you think, oh, he's going to die too, and. It's good. Only three left now.
Yeah. Now the Jack takes the bomb up to his ship and takes off. Now and then he turns up on the TARDIS. Now how's he end up on the TARDIS? Does a doctor transport him on?
Yep.
Or really?
He's able to dematerialize him or rematerialize him. Yep.
I didn't know that technology exists on the TARDIS.
Yeah. Well, I think it did on a very crude level in the original show, but.
Really?
It does.
Really? I'm surprised we didn't see the whole, like, beam down thing like they do in Star Trek. You know,
Star Trek.
Any update about that, about J.J. Abrams and that Star Trek movie? I hear everybody's going to be in it. I hear Tom Hanks is going to be in it. Ben Affleck's going to be the captain or something. I don't know. Have you heard anything?
It's just rumors. It's going to be different, though, and I know they're trying to be respectful to the fans, but... We all know what the fans are like with Battlestar, right?
So now, is the ship going to be the Enterprise or what?
What is that?
Is the ship going to be the Enterprise?
I don't know. All I can tell you is it's bound to piss off some of the fans.
Yeah. Oh, actually, Invincer said they just landed the TARDIS inside Jack's ship. Yeah, That episode kind of was you could tell sci-fi edits. All of a sudden, I think of it. Yeah, it was, because he said, we got to get out of here because that bomb's going to go off. That's right.
And then Invincer was saying Bad Wolf was written on the bomb this week in German.
Oh, well, I don't read German, do you?
No, I don't, but I mean, the link is still there, right?
Yeah.
Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
And then I guess the link for the second season is dealing with Torchwood, that new series with Jack. So they have a lot of links to Torchwood. But Russell Davies, who's the producer of both shows, basically said he wants to make... Torchwood a little bit more mature, but still have the humor. And I guess that's the same thing with the Dr. Dances. There was the horror there, but then the humor as well. So that's why it works, I think.
Yeah, I said before, sci-fi is smart to pick up Torchwood, because to me, it looks like it has a feel it's going to be like a Firefly type of a show.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, if I were sci-fi, if you want to continue with the Stargates, have a Stargate night. With the Battlestar and its spinoff, eventually have a Battlestar night, and then have a Doctor Who night with Torchwood. You'd have three nights of the week, you know.
Yeah, but the audience is, I guess you know they'd sit through. Yeah, Stargate would have three shows, so Galactica would have two shows, unless they come up with another spinoff, and then Doctor Who would have two, and who knows? Right. You know, they keep coming up with spinoffs every week, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, you'd have three full nights. Programming right there. Yeah. You know?
And again, I mentioned that the lighting they use in these this two-parter was incredible. That yellow hue that they showed. I mean, it's just the throwback to those old movies from the 40s.
You know, I found something too on Amazon.com because I placed in my pre-order to the Doctor Who videos that Chris Eccleston starred in a movie where he played the Christ coming back, the second coming. Really? I was reading this, and it's sort of like, and Russell Davies directed the movie, and it's a little bit high price, but I may just get it just because of him.
Wow. So there was a, there was
a link. He plays Christ. He played a ghost in The Others.
He's
just so versatile.
Yeah.
That,
we already said he's going to be in the remake of The Prisoner.
Yeah. I think if they do that, they'd be real smart because then it's sort of like they associate him with who, so that should be a rating.
If they're smart, they'd pick him up for the Star Trek movie and have him play a Vulcan. You know, they already call him Mr. Spock.
Or Ferengi with the ears.
Oh, that's what I thought of the Vulcan, because they already call
that's
him Mr. Spock, so why not put some points on him and be a Vulcan, you know?
That's true.
I wonder if he'd do it or not.
I don't know.
But, again, the episode was I thought was excellent. And then end, Dr. and Rose welcome Jack as part of the crew.
That's right.
We known from what's Adam, they don't last very long as part of the third wheel doesn't usually last very long.
Well, he'll be in it now for the next three, and then he'll branch off into his own, you know.
Yeah. So, now they with the spinoff. How they explain he leaves? Is he going to get his own ship again, or?
You don't know.
You have any spoilers for Doctor Who? No.
Not really, though.
How about Battlestar spoilers? Were
oh yeah, boilers.
Oh, the boilers, yes.
The boilers.
Yes.
Well, I got to keep it vague.
Yes.
It looks like the Moors have gotten off our case. Right?
Absolutely, I think it's going over very well. What boilers do you have for us this week?
Well, in very general terms, there's going to be a number of deaths in the first couple episodes. Well, of course, the Pegasus is going to be destroyed, but even more than that, significant number of deaths, significant number of tortures, besides the one with Ty.
Significant deaths?
What?
Significant deaths?
Significant deaths.
Ooh.
One incidental character on Galactica that I'll reveal at RA later on tonight. One incidental character bites.
A couple significant, so it is.
Yeah, a couple significant deaths.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
And then one person who's become a secondary character has signed on for, and I know there's some disagreement in terms of the number of episodes, but that person signed on for only 5 episodes this season.
Who's that? Be Richard Hatch? You're not going to
reveal? It's not Hatch, but it's another character.
Only for 5 episodes.
So my guess is if he's if he's only on for 5, then something's going to happen. To him.
So somebody who's only signed for 5. Could be what's his name from Quantum Leap? Probably. What the hell's his name?
What the hell?
That guy, Cavell. Maybe. Huh? Well, we got a lot of people that could be on for like
Hilo. Yeah, but remember that.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Those are sensors.
Hello, Mrs. Ron.
Uh-oh. And what else do you have?
There is going to be a...
Uh-oh.
a new type of Cylon.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of Cylon? Is it going to be a Sunbeam toaster or a GE
it's
toaster?
To be, I can basically say this because James Kallas Bautar talked about it in an interview with this magazine. That there is a new type of Cylon this season, and it's going to be leading up to this new type of Cylon. Not the babies, but a different type of Cylon.
Uh-oh. I think maybe an old toaster shows up from the original series, no? Not really?
Can't say. But they say hybrid, so I don't know what that means, whether it's half-human, half-Cylon, but that's coming up.
Really? So that'd be interesting.
Now, yeah, so it seems like they're laying the groundwork after New Caprica for... continuation of stories, and according to James Kallas, it looks like they're really moving the show in the direction they want it to go in this season, which sounds, I think, really good for those people that thought they didn't have a template or plan by the middle of the last season and that they were aimless and moving around with the standalone episodes. It's nice to know that, you know, at least Kallas thinks that they're moving forward in the direction that
that's true.
Usually it's season 3. If a show lasts for three seasons. Usually it's the season three that really moves it, gets it going to successive seasons.
Well, that's true. I mean, especially with this series, you know, they only had the 10-episode first season. And
right.
then in last season, they kind of, you know, they had 20, so they had to kind of get their sea legs, you know, now that
right.
they're, you know, doing that. Now, you know, and now they got the spinoff coming down the pike. I don't know if you can really call it a spinoff because it's really not going to have
a prequel.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's not really going to have anything to do with the series besides having the same producers and everything. I mean,
right. And some people have been debating this, whether it's just going to be a mini series, but my understanding is it's going to be a full fledged series.
Oh.
But it's not going to be shown as early as October. I
uh-huh.
mean, there's just no way they can do all of that, you know, and get
yeah.
get the next series ready
well,
by October.
It would be nice if they kind of air this when Galactica's off the air and reruns. That'd be kind
yeah,
of
yeah. That would that, in terms of continuity.
Yeah.
yeah, that would be good, and that way then you always have, and you know that might be the route that they're going to go, only because. I don't think sci-fi is creative enough yet to do a second or a third night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they just want to do the one night on Friday and be real conservative. So that would make sense to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Know?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, is you know, same thing. You said there's a third Stargate coming. Oh my God! I still get a headache when I think about this. And
I bet you sci-fi would put all three. Together.
Probably. Yeah, but they would be smart if they maybe stagger the three series out so there's always some kind of fresh show in there in the middle of all three. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, they need to do something with the Atlantis because I thought it really sort of dropped. I mean, just not only ratings, but it dropped in terms of overall quality of stories.
Yeah. Well, the show kind of lost its. You know, if they dig more into the mythology of the city itself, and I remember when the show first started, they kind of hinted at it, and then they kind of went away from it. You know.
And then they dealt with the Wraith, which was the supervillain, and now they've changed some of the Wraith to humans, so the supervillain isn't. I mean, they've done the same thing that Star Trek did to the Borgs.
Yeah. Made them into jokes.
Except when the Borg were shown in the movies, like then First Contact. Mm-hmm. That was when the Borg looked real creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. They went back to their creepy look.
Yeah,
know, for a while
and it
they
was good. It was good. I really liked that.
Yeah. Know? And then actually, they're putting what is and Vince are saying that Sci-Fi has already announced they're starting a Monday night for new series.
Really.
And that's where they're putting Eureka. So Eureka is going to go there. So
then,
I don't know.
Going to happen? I guess Friday nights in July. They're going to have the two Stargates.
Yeah,
and
two
then there should be some other show, right?
Some other show. Maybe the second season of Doctor Who will be in there or something.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, it's yeah. We're not network programmers, but
right, yeah, right.
I mean, it's just you know, it's good to see that they're you know at least coming up with these new shows and everything else. And you know, as much as people say, oh, I want to see them pick up Firefly, I want to see them pick up Invasion or Servant. It's kind of getting new stuff, you know.
Right,
you
right.
Know? Well, I don't know
because
about
Invasion and Surface, though they did get the viewers. It's a gamble, I think, to bring it over to Sci-Fi and think that. All right, they're going to get a 2.6 with these episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you have any idea what this third Stargate's going to be about?
Not really. Mm. I mean, there's talk about it, so I would hope it doesn't show up for at least a year or two.
Really? Yeah, because unless they take a couple of the incidental characters from the SG-1 and create the spinoff, or
yeah, it looks like what they probably would do is carry over characters. You know, like what they did with Atlantis. Where they carried some of the characters from Rodney from SG-1.
Oh,
He had bit part there, so,
it's the Centurion. We have to let you go at the end of the program.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
All right.
Try to get more boilers.
Yeah, more boilers. We like boilers. All right. Especially you got to remove them, though. They're a bitch to remove those boilers. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Oof.
Oh, there goes the TARDIS. Off you go.
Doctor Who drinking game next week.
Oh, well.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to do that next week.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, have a good night.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Have
Bye-bye.
A good night. Good luck.
Bye.
And that was Conan Gruhls with our Doctor Who, Battlestar Galactica, Boilers, and Doctor Who review. And we thank you, everybody, for listening to Program Live and listening to the podcast. And tomorrow morning from 10 to 12 is Daily Noise. Friday is Spank Wagon, followed by King Hesh. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Email is subject number 2 discussion at lvrocks.com. Good night. Have a pleasant tomorrow.
LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. What do